Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm sorry we have been off the air for the last few days. First, I had some computer issues, and then I had Renee issues. I contracted bronchitis, strep throat. I have not been this sick and stayed in bed for so long, and I don't know, since I had my back surgery when I was in my 40s. So, but again, it gave me reason to believe that we need to talk about the medical field, doctors. You know, the first thing that came to my mind was, are they there to help us? Or are they just there? Are they a friend or are they a foe? And emergency rooms over the last year have been, I don't know, kind of scary to me. I'm thinking that most people only go anymore to an emergency room or to a doctor if they absolutely positively are scared into it. And of course, my family was very upset that I wouldn't go see a doctor or go to the emergency room because I was pretty sick. If I don't come out of my bedroom for 3 days, even the dogs won't leave my room. So it wasn't very nice, and I haven't been that sick in a long time. But the truth of the matter is, I'm allergic to penicillin. So if I go to the doctor for something like this in years gone by, they experiment with what might help clear up the infection. And instead, I just did the things that I know I needed to do. I know I needed to rest. I knew I needed to get lots of liquids. I sat in my infrared sauna, which helped my lungs. The first 3 days, I did nothing but lay in bed and use up box after box of tissue. It was the most infectious kind of bronchitis and strep throat that I've had since I was, I don't know, probably a kid. But, you know, I pineapple juice and all the things that we talk about on the show, lots of electrolyte water. I used everything that I knew that would help me get to a better place. I didn't eat much, which of course didn't hurt me, but I drank. I had something beside me to drink all the time, mostly water. I'm going to bring in the ladies because it's that time of year. And because of this horrendous heat and the fact that bacteria is born in this heat, in a lot of cases, I mean, I'm 70, and some 70-year-olds, I hope I'm not one of them, but some 70-year-olds probably shouldn't go to an emergency room. They're probably looking for more trouble than they are help if they walk into an emergency room right now. And here in South Florida, we've got hepatitis A, we've got measles, we've got a barrage of ailments and illnesses and things that we haven't had to worry about in years that are rampant. And if you are in a position where you have to go to the health department, that's real scary. And if you're doing a health department gig or something like that, you should be wearing a mask. So let's bring in the ladies. First on the dashboard is Shelley. Good morning, Shel.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mon.
Good morning.
So how are you?
Well, evidently better
Thank
than you.
Thank God you can't
are.
Catch that cough. Yes, yes.
I was going to say, better than you.
I'm telling
yeah.
you. You know, I couldn't even hold my brand new baby, and that was like torture. That was like Chinese
yeah.
torture.
Yeah.
And none of the little, you know, I think that's probably how I got this, though, because I have the little, the 10-month-old and the 3-year-old who chronically have colds, and probably just, you know, a low ebb for me, and I'm holding him, and he sticks, the 10-month-old sticks his whole fist in my mouth if I'm not paying attention, and, you know, and he kisses with his mouth wide open all over the side of my cheek. So I'm pretty sure that's how I got into this mess, and but because of it, I was afraid to be around everybody else.
Well, ever since Hurricane Barry hit up in the Gulf area, we were actually sick here for a couple of days. Not as bad as you, but all three of us in this house, me, my sister, and Angel, all felt like we were coming down with the flu. We all had sore throats. None of us became bedridden. You know, it didn't go as far as it did with you. But for the dawn just came up here with the kids, and I felt like I was getting a full-blown flu. So for 2 days, I started megadosing on colloidal silver and golden seal. I was taking it like four times of the 2 days before she came up here, and it didn't progress. By the time she got here, I actually felt okay. But 2 days before she got here, I was panicking because I felt so sick. And I was like, oh, my God, I said, if I don't do something about this, she's not going to come, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I knocked it out. But it was right around when Barry was hitting in the Gulf. You know, and remember, whenever you have these tropical storms, whether they turn into a hurricane or not is irrelevant. They're going across water. They're going across other land. They're picking up all kinds of contaminants. And then when they do hit land, they're bringing all that contamination with them. And a lot of times you'll see people get sick right after these tropical storms and hurricanes. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. I remember when I first found out I couldn't take antibiotics anymore, this is going back, 30 years ago, I literally was allergic to every type of antibiotic out there, not just penicillin, but erythromycin and tetracycline. I mean, any antibiotic I couldn't take anymore. It took 20 years to develop that, but I became allergic to every single one. And I had gotten double pneumonia, I forgot what it was, but I had like 103 fever in 4 days, and they couldn't break my fever. I wouldn't go to the doctor. I couldn't break my fever. I wouldn't go to the doctor at that time because all they do is give you antibiotics. So I called my naturopath, and he put me on. That's the first time that I ever tried that protocol of colloidal silver, golden seal. And then he also had me taking quercetin because that helps open your lungs up. And within 48 hours, my fever had broken. I felt great. And I was a little weak from having a 103 fever for 4 days. But in 48 hours, I got over it. And that was it. And then I just stayed on that for a few more days until I built up my strength. And it was astonishing to me that that was the first time I ever treated myself without antibiotics. So, and that's been my mainstay ever since. Anytime I feel like I'm getting a flu or a cold or something like that, I do that protocol, and within 48 hours, I'm good again.
Well, like I said, I was sick enough so that I really didn't even want anybody in my room, and my dog knew it. That was something else that, you know, because we're all animal lovers, I'm going to mention this.
Right.
I have a very schizophrenic little dog. I've talked about him before. He comes from my son Michael's dogs. They have something like 9 or 10 dogs over there, and they've all, commingled, so it's incest at its best over there. And I think that has something to do with the puppy's behaviors. And my dog is my dog. I mean, he loves Spike. He loves the kids. He loves all of them. Unless it's a little person that is, you know, like eye high to him and reaches for him, he will bite them. And if he's on my lap, on the chair, and even Spike walks up to put his hand on his head, he gets a growl if he's with me. So this past week, if I got out of the bed, Chewbacca stayed in here with me, and Spike would come and get him and say, let's go for a walk, you can come back. He'd go outside, go pee, come back in the house and lay beside me on the bed. But if I got up and went to the bathroom and came back, I never saw him do this. He'd just start licking me all over, jumping all over me and licking me. Everywhere,
oh, wow.
My feet, my legs, everything. And I was like, you know, I said, what is wrong with you? And then I realized, I think he thought he was making me better. So he sensed how sick I was. But the real thing I want to talk about is other people. My son called me yesterday. He's got an infection in his tooth. Mom, what do I do? I'm using antibiotics, and I did this, and I did that. And I said, you got to go to the emergency room and see if they'll give you an IV of antibiotics, because the inflammation in his mouth was so great, it wasn't going to go away by itself. So instead, he goes there and says, we're going to give you a different antibiotic, and if it doesn't help within 48 hours, you have to come back, and then we'll give you the IV. So I thought to myself, you know, you're, I don't know. You're wrong. How's that old saying go? You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And It made me think about all the people that are out there that have never done the things that the three of us have done, never seen the things that we've done, never taken care of the people, had our own experiences, and, of course, been immersed in a lifestyle that talks about the, you know, the other side of the coin. Such as, you know, the food you eat, the things you drink, the way you take care of yourself. I'm not Howie Mandel, but I'm a big deal when somebody in the house has a cold about washing your hands and using single service everything, cups, paper plates, whatever we need to use, so that everybody's not drinking out of the same cup. I don't care if it got washed in the dishwasher or you scrubbed it with Clorox. You know, I think that there are certain things that you can just pass to somebody else, especially when their immune system is a little bit down. So how do we know, and maybe you guys won't have an answer for this because neither of you believe in doing it, just like me, but I'm going to reach out. How do we know when the time is right to say, okay, yes, I better go to the hospital? I mean, because obviously, if you're that sick and you're running a temperature for all those days, that's very dangerous. You can cause kidney damage. You can cause all kinds of other damages. When is the shutoff point when you say, okay, I need some other help? And how do you trust? Is there a question we can say to the doctor in the emergency room or the doctor that is on our Medicare? Is there something we can say that says, let's cut to the quick? What do I need to do? I can't think of anything.
Well, there are medical doctors that are aligned with holistic practices. My nephew-in-law has aligned himself with a medical doctor who's an MD, but he understands that Justin is a vegan and that he doesn't, he can't tolerate a lot of medications and things like that. So he's very sensitive to that. So he'll prescribe homeopathics to Justin. He'll prescribe supplements and things like that. So if you can align yourself with a primary care physician who's aware of holistic approaches, or even maybe a naturopath that aligns themselves with a hospital, at least you have half a chance of getting appropriate care and not just being pumped full of all kinds of medications that are going to fight each other, like what they did to my mom. You know, they gave her one thing one day, and then that caused the problem, so they gave her something the next day, and then that caused the problem. And she didn't die from what she went in there with. She died from all the reactions to the complications from the medication they gave him, because it kept causing different side effects. So for me, the only time it would be appropriate for me to go to the hospital is if I was in an accident or injury where I had a broken bone or something like that, and then, you know, I'm not going to wrap... I'm not going to soak tea and wrap it around my leg. You know, I'm going to need a cast or something like that. But other than that, I don't see myself ever going to the hospital, because I've actually been pretty sick. I was attacked by one of our rescue dogs. Well, he didn't attack me. He was attacking another dog, and I got between them. And I got bit right through my palm, went through the palm, came out the top of my hand. It was a pretty catastrophic injury. You know, I was talking about the double pneumonia I had with 103 fever for 4 days. So, you know, I've been pretty sick. And at no time, even from the animal bites, and that happened to me 2 years back to back, I did not go to the hospital. I did not take antibiotics. I called my naturopath. He gave me a protocol. Never got an infection with the animal bites. And then the next year was even worse. My left hand really got mauled. So there are protocols that can protect us. But for me, it would never be the right time. And unfortunately, we're in a culture where people believe that without a pill or a procedure, we can't heal our bodies, and that's just not actually the truth about our constitution.
What about you, Mom?
Or people believe that only a white coat, only somebody that has a stethoscope hanging around their neck is smart enough to tell you what's wrong with you. You know, but that's not the truth. I mean, it's all you have to do is do some research and read. And for me, like Shelley, there is no way I would, unless it's a broken bone hanging out of my body, you know, that I can't push it in myself, you know, then I guess, or a car accident, then I guess I'd have to go to the hospital.
Right.
Other than that, no. No, right. Because all they're going to do is screw you up even more. Emergency rooms
mm-hmm.
are great as far as
mm-hmm.
fixing you up and then get the hell out of there and take care of your own self. You were talking
mm-hmm.
about having a fever and you don't want
mm-hmm.
it. You were trying to get rid of your fever. That is the wrong thing to do. We've been taught the wrong thing about fevers. Fevers are good. Fevers
right.
raise your immune system. And your white blood, it raises the white blood cells, which means your immune system is on the march. It's looking for that infection. And when you reduce that fever artificially, you are doing yourself a disservice because the fever
mm-hmm.
is good. I mean, you don't want it to go above for an adult 104. You know, you're not going to go into convulsions. It's all a myth. You need a fever. In fact, for people with cancer,
I don't know, 104
to...
for an adult is kind of high, man. 104 for an adult in my experience is kind of high.
It feels
so you know,
like you're going to die, but you do not.
But wait a minute. I actually
yeah.
had 105 fever for 3 days when I was an adult, and I did not go into convulsions. I felt like I was in a state of delirium. But I never
yeah.
had convulsions or
yeah.
anything. I mean, they got under control after the third day, but I wasn't taking anything like you know anything to reduce the fever. I was just taking antibiotics, but then it ended up the antibiotics didn't even work. I ended up going in the hospital anyway. But I had 105 fever for 3 days and never went into any convulsions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the antibiotics.
Yeah.
are nothing more than a lesser form of chemotherapy
mm-hmm.
because it totally mm-hmm. blocks your immune system.
Right.
So that's the other wrong thing to do. And,
right.
I mean, fevers are a good thing. And the only way to reduce it,
mm-hmm.
if it gets too high, is to get in a tepid bath and bring it down
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
Yeah, that's always been my treatment of a fever.
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not going
to
go into convulsions.
That's what I do to babies. That's what I do for myself. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I don't know.
Actually,
I have experience with young people, with babies, with little children, of having seizures when their temperature got too high. And I've also had experience with kidneys being damaged with a 3-year-old when her fever got too high, and my babysitter didn't know. She didn't. It wasn't about giving her baby aspirin. It was about, you know, letting her be outside when it was 90 degrees and she was running a temperature
oh,
and she literally was baking. So her kidneys got
right.
damaged. So my experiences have been a little bit different. Although I agree with what you're both saying, I also know that there are. That's why you can't put a blanket on everything. You can't say this is what you do because circumstances. Actually can, you know, have a lot to do with what's going on and being able to realize when something has gone too far. When I talked about the temperature for myself, it's just how shitty you feel, to be honest with you. When your temperature
oh, yeah.
goes
exactly.
up and you're an old woman and you're laying in bed, you feel like crap. That's why I
oh,
mentioned
yeah.
the temperature. But my first go-to thing for a temperature has always been tepid water, cool water. I stopped Mikey, little Mike. Well, he's not little anymore. But that's what I did with him. I sat him right in the sink and got eye contact with him and brought him out of a seizure with the tepid water on a cloth, just pouring it on him and bringing his temperature down. So I agree with all those things. But
one
say
thing
you're
I will
living
say
by yourself.
About the temperature. Let me just say one thing about the temperature real quick. There is a homeopathic pellet. I can't recall the name of it right now. Dr. Mike put me on it years ago. This is when I had the high fever and I was just absolutely miserable because it's not a Tylenol or anything to medically drive your temperature down. It doesn't interfere with the immune system. It works with the immune system and brings down the temperature naturally by regulating the body. So it helps with the discomfort and pain associated to high fevers. So if you just went on to like the Boron site and you typed in fever and flu-like symptoms, there's actually a pellet that helps to diminish the discomfort from the fever and all that. It doesn't drive the fever down, but it keeps it from getting dangerously high. And I used it for a couple of days, and it really did help to relieve some of the pain you're in when you have that high fever.
Well, and I think all of it is a part of a journey, and everybody's different. And the the reactions that you get to a fever are also always different for everybody. For me, my issues are my lungs. I was diagnosed with emphysema when I was fairly young, even though I never smoked myself. Secondhand smoke has been a big part of my life. And my lungs really hurt. So instead of doing anything except for the showers, I did a heating pad on my lower back. And I also knew that the more I drank and the more I loosened all of the congestive phlegm that was in my lower lungs and in my throat. I had big canker sores on the back of my throat, which come with strep throat and things like that. And with that, I gargled salt water and I sprayed peroxide on the back of my throat. And within about 2 days, they were gone. But Grandma Cecil, Monica, Betty Jane's mom, that's what her thing was. If you had strep throat, she would take a cotton swab and put peroxide on those cankers on the back of your throat. Let me tell you, sitting still for that when you're about 5 is a tough thing to do. But it's gone pretty fast when you do that. So what do we say to somebody who maybe it's a couple. Let's say there's an elderly couple and they both catch a bug like that. Maybe they have grandchildren or something and they both catch a bug like that. And their first thought is to go to their doctor because everybody has a doctor. I was chastised twice this month because I've never been to my preferred provider for my Medicare because I'm a retired senior citizen. And now they're calling me and harassing me because I still haven't been in to see them. So if I wasn't me, I might have given up by now and said, oh, what the hell, they're not going to leave me alone. And they are doing what their job is, you know, but I why? So they can tell me something else I need to worry about and then they can screw it up for me? No, thank you. So, but what about that older couple that doesn't think like we do, hasn't seen the things that we do, and they're told? I mean, we see that all the time, don't we? Jane, our friend Jane, mine and Shelley's friend Jane, she's going to be 82 this year. And she goes to doctors at least 4 times a month, different doctors,
right?
Because she had a stroke and she had this and she had that. And they almost make her worse. I always know when she's gone, even when I haven't been the one that took her, because of the way she's acting. So what words of advice can we give to somebody that's struggling like that? And they're torn between whether or not, oh, does this mean if I don't go to the doctors, I'm going to die tomorrow here in this bed all by myself? What do we say to them?
Well, one of the things that I struggle with when I'm talking to people, especially older people, that are set in their ways, that have been going to doctors their whole lives, that don't really have and maybe their diet's great or maybe their diet's not great, but the bottom line is they have that mindset that the doctor is what's going to heal them, not lifestyle choices or looking to natural things. So I've actually had this happen recently. What I told the person is that, look, they're already taking a bunch of medication, so I'm not going to sit here and tell them, oh, stop taking your medication, because that would just be irresponsible.
Right.
Their body, whether they're suffering side effects or not, their body's also dependent on that, and it's regulating things to a certain degree, even though they're having side effects. So they can't just stop cold turkey. That's just as dangerous as doing the medication for a lifetime also, you know. So what I tell them is I say, look, why don't you find a good naturopath in your area, somebody that can look at the protocol you're in right now and from a medical standpoint help you to shift into things that will make you feel better and start reducing your side effects. So even if they're having a crisis right then, they're having a flu right then or something like that, and they need immediate help, a naturopath, like the one that I was seeing, Dr. Mike Constantine, he's down in the West Palm Beach area, he was wonderful.
Yeah, I remember him.
He could look at a current situation and say, okay, you're on this med, this med, this med. All right, this particular naturopathic remedy won't interfere with those, and within a week or two, you can start reducing that dose. And I said, he actually did that with two people I knew. When Justin started seeing him, Justin was on a lot of prescription medication when he first started seeing Dr. Mike, and in almost, I think it was in under a year, year and a half, he had him off everything. You know, but he did it very gradually, and as he replaced one homeopathic, you know. But so that would be my advice, not to have the advice come from me, but to have them go to somebody who's trained. Is that somebody's phone?
I don't know what's happening.
I'm sorry. I hit something on my TV. Sorry.
Okay. But at any rate, so that would be my advice, to have them seek out, they're available, and to seek out the advice of a naturopathic medical doctor who can take into consideration how they've been treated up to that point.
Well, the other thing is, what does somebody look up when they're looking up a naturopath? Do they look under naturopath? I've never done it. So it just crossed my mind that if I said that to somebody and they said, what if I can't find somebody? Do I look that up in the phone book? Do I Google naturopath? What is that the key word that they would use to find a local naturopath? Or holistic?
Either holistic physician or natural. Yeah, it would be under naturopath or under holistic physician. They could look under either heading.
Okay. Because I've never looked for that, and I'm just sitting here thinking, if I said that to somebody, where would I tell them to look? Okay, so naturopath or holistic. And I want to say that there's more than there used to be. And here in Palm Beach, there's a couple different places now that are kind of honing in on that arena. I have a feeling that part of that is thanks to the introduction of Hippocrates in this area, because a lot of people talk about Hippocrates. A lot of people go to the Save Your Life thing and they learn about it, and then they're looking for somebody. They don't want to take the reins themselves, because we've talked about that before. A lot of us are just not ready to take care of ourselves. We want somebody else to do it for us, because that's the way we were brought up, and that's what we think is supposed to take place, that we're not trustworthy enough to know what's good for us, which is kind of sad, but I meet a lot of people like that. So if I were to say to them, at least do this and get yourself on a path, antibiotics can turn on you. If people don't quite understand that, that's something else they should probably research. Antibiotics can be worse than what you're trying to get rid of. And not for everybody. It depends on what your makeup is, and we talk about that all the time. We're all different. And as far as fevers are concerned, I think I've told this story before, but it always cracks me up, because I get what a fever is, and I understand the white blood cells, and I get a lot of it, even at my very uneducated state of mind. I get a lot of it because most of it makes sense. But if you take too many antibiotics, your body almost builds an immunity to them. So in truth, if you've been taking them for the last 30 years, they're probably not doing a damn thing for you. You're probably just working through something and you think the antibiotics are helping with it, and they're not. And they're probably depleting some of the other good factors in your body.
Right, exactly. By the way,
you know,
I just Googled naturopathic
doctors. It's not everything it needs to be.
I just Googled naturopathic doctors on my phone, and it came up with four.
Okay.
Within 20 miles of my house. So if you do it on something like your phone or something like that that sees where you are, it'll bring up ones in your area. Or if you do it on your computer, it'll probably ask you to put in your like zip code, and then it'll find doctors near where you are. But like four came
mm-hmm.
up right away.
Mm-hmm.
One of these names I actually recognize. But at any rate, so you put in naturopathic doctors, and it'll bring up doctors in your area.
So that's good news. So that will help anybody that's struggling with that right now. And, of course, I get phone calls from people who say they've had it with their doctor. Well, my own son called me yesterday, actually, and he's got an infection in his mouth, and I said, I hate to say it, but because you're in the position you're in, you're going to have to go to the emergency room, but tell them you've been on antibiotics already and you'd like an IV to help clear up that infection in your mouth before it goes someplace else or starts a problem with someplace else where you've got a weak point or anything like that. And then, you know, and then just drink lots of water and get yourself to a better place. They wouldn't do that. Instead, they just changed the antibiotic that he was on to something else and then said, if this isn't better in 48 hours, come back and we'll give you an IV. So a lot of this is about what? The big M word, right? Money.
But you know what would make it better within 48 hours? Although I don't know that I can still put myself there, but it's worked for my sister twice now, is the therapy that Monica was talking about. It's a urine therapy. It's amazing what that does for severe, severe mouth infections. Where people would be losing teeth or whatever. It's worked for my sister twice now. She's shocked. She's actually working with she's gotten three of the books that Monica talked about. We just ordered another one, which was by Thacker, which is a very difficult book to get, by the way. So she's getting that one. But my sister's actually, in fact, maybe we'll talk about it on the show when she's done with it. But she's actually embarking on the urine fast that was in one of the books. She's going to be doing that next month to try and kind of push her health over the edge because she's seen so many benefits from doing this. I'm seeing the benefit of her. Her hair is darker. Her eyelashes are longer. I mean, a lot of the stuff, this has only been 3 months now. I've seen major changes in my sister since she's been doing this on a regular basis. I'm still not to the point where I can get past my own psychology, so I'm working on that. But I believe in it because I see how it's benefiting my sister. And when she went to the dentist to have her crown replaced, two of the other things they said she needed, they said she doesn't need anymore. They were like, we don't know how this healed, but it's not on the x-rays anymore. So they actually canceled two of the other procedures they told my sister she needed. So it definitely works.
It does.
Shelley,
have you ever gone on Monica's site?
Yeah. Have you ever gone on Monica's site, Shelley?
No, I haven't.
The urine therapy
you
site?
You should.
You need to because... Yeah, because I read all the stories of, I mean, it's me too. Psychologically, I can't get past it, but I mean, some of the stories that I read, and there are people just telling their own story. So it's not Monica telling you to do this. She's actually got, you know, testimony. And,
I've got
and it's amazing.
5,000 people in my group.
Right.
And, well, no, it's more than 5,000. It's almost 5,500 now. So, and there are free books in the files. There are free books. So your sister doesn't need to be ordering any books because we have a lot of free books on PDF that she can read.
So what is it? Let me take it down because I think my sister tried to find you and wasn't able to, and I had meant to call Rainey to get the information, or I actually can email you myself. So what is the website? For the group?
It's urine therapy. That's it. It's the number one. It's urine therapy, although people after I started have changed the lettering, you know, so that they can also say urine therapy on Facebook, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And if you friend me, on Facebook, what's my name on Facebook? Monica L. Swift. I think that's what I am. Yeah, it is. Monica L. Swift. Then I could put you in there, and it's a closed group, so nobody will know you're in there. You could just read and look at what people say and stuff like that,
okay.
And then invite your sister, because we get over 100 requests a day to be in my group. And it's crazy. It's crazy.
You know,
people want to be in the group, and I don't let them all in because a lot of them are just, I'm just curious. No.
Right.
You know, I don't want you.
She calls them, them trolls. She calls them trolls.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, my sister had mentioned this. I mean, she's very discreet of who she mentions it to because it has, you know, people have a very strong reaction to it. But she did mention it to one of the ladies she works with. And it's so interesting how life works. The one person she decides to share this with was like, oh, my God. She said, one of my closest friends, who's a guy, has been doing urine therapy for years. He won't go to doctors, and he literally uses it for everything. And she said, anytime he does get sick or injured, he's, like, healed, like, in a day or two. And she said, you know, like, so it's just interesting that the one person she decided to share it with didn't argue with her because she already knew somebody that was doing this. And so she's like, she said, well, no, I know it works. I know it works.
For your son, all he'd have to do, pee in a cup, get a dropper, 4 drops under his tongue. He will not taste it, smell it, nothing. Close your eyes. And this is how you get over it. This is how I got over it because, I mean, it is hard. It's a psychological thing that, you know, since we're babies. But if you close your eyes, hold your nose, put 4 drops under your tongue, that pain and that infection will be mostly gone in 10 minutes. Then you do it again in 30 minutes. And you could do it, I mean, another couple of times that day. Infection is gone. The pain is gone in 10 minutes. And that's why I started doing it. I had such an infection in my mouth, my tooth. I wanted somebody to put a bullet in my head. I was in so much freaking pain.
I don't think there's anything worse. I've given birth to babies, and it wasn't worse than a toothache.
I know.
It's a truth.
And the pain was gone in 10 minutes. And the first time I did it, it was like a head rush. You can feel, I can't explain it. It was like a head rush. I don't know how else to say it. And within 10 minutes, the pain was gone. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I cannot believe this.
So you're talking about not putting it in a mason jar and letting it cure or letting it dissipate or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
Those people are European, okay, and nowhere in any of the texts or documents or books does it say to age your urine, to drink it, or put it in your eyes, in your nose. No. Those people are European. Whatever they do, they do. But fresh, first morning urine is the best and strongest, has the most immune-building properties, and that's what you should use for this. The aging part, where you put it in a jar and let it set, is for external use, body rubs, especially good if you have cancer, that kind of thing.
Right.
But fresh urine carries your DNA, your stem cells, the things that will cure you of a lot of things. Like last week, I had an enlarged spleen again. I don't know why it's happening. I really don't want to know why it's happening. But
yeah,
all I do
it.
Is take... All I do is, I mean, you feel the pain because it's pushing on your stomach. It's pushing up your lungs, that kind of thing. So
right.
You got this pain
mm-hmm.
in your left side. And all I do is take about, I don't know, 3-4 ounces, close my eyes, hold my nose, drink the shit down. I'm sorry. Drink the stuff down. Well, you know, it's still hard to
don't
get over.
Don't make me laugh. I start popping when I laugh.
I know. Well, and then honest to God, and I am not lying, I'm not exaggerating, the pain was gone. So you go on with the rest of your weeks, months, until it happens again. I've had this 3 times now. It works the same every single time. It's just amazing.
But this kind of ties into what Rainey was talking about at the very beginning of the show, you know, are doctors friends or foes? And I think most doctors, most people when they think about, I want to become a doctor, and obviously there are some that do have, you know, other mindsets, but I think the vast majority of people that want to become doctors want to do that because they want to help end suffering. That's their mindset.
Yeah.
But they're trained by an established business mindset that is all about creating lifetime customers. And when people understand where the training comes from, doctors are trained by a protocol that is established by the pharmaceutical industry. So you have to consider that for 1 minute. So they want to construct a mindset amongst the doctors as well. So it's not just the consumer that is brainwashed. The doctors are brainwashed also into thinking that without their intervention, the body can't heal. Now, a lot of doctors break away from that and get into natural. There's a lot of medical doctors now that will branch out into naturopathic because they recognize that people aren't healing the way they were trained they would heal. All right. A lot of other doctors are like, I just spent, you know, 12 years of my life getting here, and I'm not going to give up on the, you know, the $100,000 I just spent. This is what I was taught to do. This is what I'm going to do. And, you know, and unfortunately, most doctors stay that way. But they, at some point, they do recognize they're not helping people, but they don't have the willingness to break out of it. Well, urine therapy, and I'm sure you can verify this, Monica, urine therapy used to be recognized as a therapy up until recent times, I'm talking like up to about 100 years ago. So when they realized how effective urine therapy was, they started villainizing it, demonizing it, making it dirty, making it not what it was. But up until very, very recently, we're talking within the last century, urine therapy was actually used by doctors, but it was so effective that how are you gonna convince somebody to do chemotherapy when they could reverse cancer by drinking their own urine, or they could heal themselves. There was one story about the two brothers that they were in a car accident together. They both had broken bones. Well, the one brother was doing urine therapy and was healed almost completely within 6 weeks. His other brother that wouldn't do it because he thought it was disgusting, 6 months later was still suffering with all kinds of complications. They had very similar injuries, but the one was back up and around in under 2 months, while the other one 6 months later is still suffering terribly because he did everything the doctor's way.
Here's another aspect that maybe nobody has thought about, and then I'll be quiet about it. when a baby, I know you don't like the, nobody likes to talk about this, but when a woman gets pregnant, okay, she has that baby in her womb.
Right.
After about the fifth month, I believe it is, fourth or fifth month, that baby starts urinating. Where do you think that goes? There is no tube attached to into that baby's urethra that is developing.
Right.
It is
right.
enveloped in urine and amniotic fluid. The amniotic
right.
fluid is mostly urine by the 7th, 8th, and 9th month. Okay.
Wow.
Urine is needed to develop the lungs. That baby is breathing in the urine to develop the lungs. Otherwise, if it wasn't there, the lungs would not develop at all.
Wow.
So we are born in urine. I mean, we live in urine. And then when you're born, it's vilified. You know, it's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But people
right.
don't realize that. Most amniotic fluid, 80% of it is urine when that baby's born.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing about that because Jen, my granddaughter-in-law, after she had Espen, she said to me, "Graham, I've been reading about this, and I don't understand how the baby breathes." And I said, "Well, she doesn't really breathe. She, you know, she gets everything through your umbilical cord. If she breathed in there, it's all fluid." And I talked about amniotic fluid. I had never heard the thing about urine, but of course that makes perfect sense because you're right. Where
right.
else does it go into, you know, into a little potty in the corner of a mom's womb? The womb is too widow, so that doesn't happen.
Right.
But so we talked about this. So then we both Googled it, and I said, because one of my grandchildren during birth, it was a difficult birth. He was my first natural grandson, Spike, and he swallowed some amniotic fluid going through the birth canal, and he had to stay in NICU for 10 days after he was born. And I mean, we were worried sick, and of course he survived and everything was all right. But because I had that in my memory bank, when Jen asked me this question, I said, you know, let's find out. I don't know the answer to that. When I was young, if you were pregnant, you went through everything. Nobody told you a damn thing. There certainly wasn't a sonogram when I had any of my kids, as I'm sure Monica can relate to. The doctor listened with a stethoscope or his hand and measured you with a measuring tape. That's how innovative we were back in those days. So when we looked it up, it did say about that, but it didn't say, and I sat there thinking to myself, so what happens to her waste? I mean, because she's being fed through the umbilical cord, right? So something has to be, there has to be something growing inside of her to, you know, to be able to be born into the world. That's why there's the 9 months or the 40 weeks or whatever you want to call it. So that's very interesting. So nothing, and of course it does make sense to me, Monica, that it comes from your own body. The only thing that stops me is the mental block, and
right.
I know that it's a mental block.
Yeah.
But it does make a lot of sense to me that something that is generated in your own body would have to be good for you, otherwise it would kill you already.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It is a sterile byproduct of your blood. Okay, the red blood cells and all that goes back up to the heart. This is a sterile byproduct that carries your DNA. Every disease in your body in microscopic pieces, so that when
mm-hmm.
when reingested, it alerts your immune system to go and look for it and fight it. Or it nourishes you because it's also got, you know, your stem cell. I mean, it's really amazing. And all you got to do, like I said, close your eyes, hold your nose, do it. Don't think about it, just do it. And Renee, by tomorrow, if you did that, by tomorrow, you would be 100%. And you'd have so much freaking energy, you wouldn't believe it.
Well, geez, I've never been 100%, so, I mean, that should be worth it
well,
all on its own, right?
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you a question. Even now, while I am so full of bacteria because I am still sick, even now while
yeah.
I'm still sick, we're still talking about the same worth and the same benefits? Because that's going to be one of the questions people ask me.
That is in your urine. The microscopic pieces of that bacteria is there. And when re-ingested, even 4 drops under your tongue is going to be a difference because it's going to alert your immune system. Uh-oh, what's going on here? You know, I see an invader.
Uh-huh.
It's microscopic. It's not going to make you sicker. No, it's going to make you better. And
whole idea of the vaccinations, too. So there,
exactly.
This all comes together. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's your own vaccine. All the things we talk about. Yeah.
It's your own vaccine, and that's all you need.
Really, it is incredibly
interesting. Well, actually, if you think about it, the concept of vaccinations actually was born out of homeopathy, which has been around for thousands of years, actually, where like cures like. So they would introduce a very small amount of something that you were suffering from, and it would trigger your body to then fight that thing. Where our Western medicine went awry is taking that concept, putting it into an injection, first of all, which is invasive, and secondly, putting it in with other chemicals that now are, at very least, counteracting the benefits. So you're not just, with homeopathy, you're only getting that thing. You're only getting that substance. In an injection, you're getting a carrier agent. You're getting other chemicals. You're getting, the concept is there, but it's being executed in a way that's actually harmful to us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, it works.
Tell the name of your site again, babe. So if anybody's listening today or listens to it later, they can check it out. You have different guidelines for them to follow to get involved in it, but they should have it, and maybe put it on your Facebook page again today so that I can share it on mine. Shell, you got to get on Facebook more often, honey, because you're not going to believe all the things you're going to learn with different sites like this. I mean, Monica's just one of them, but there's a lot of things, especially because you'll get the attention of a lot of people from Hippocrates that are on site. A lot of our friends that are in other countries, Jill, and there's just so many of them, too many for me to name. But they're all doing different practices, and some of them believe in urine therapy, not all of them. But I see that being recognized. One of the things I want to mention about that, too, is whenever I meet elderly people, and seeing how I'm 70 and I can say elderly people, I'm talking about people that are in their high 80s. And their minds, for whatever reasons, are so much more open than ours. It's kind of shocking.
Uh-huh.
The lady I met in Michigan. Exactly.
When they were little.
So their trust is still a little bit in their self and their folklore and the medicine and everything that was brought on down through the centuries. And then when the white coats got involved, then everything changed. And, of course, for some people, lightening their load was all that was important. How many people do you want to know that want to take total responsibility for everything in their life? Do you know any?
Right.
Not really.
Well, and also think about how arrogant a lot of doctors are, how they speak to people and how they make people feel. I mean, if you ask a doctor a question, typically, they'll turn around and like, why are you questioning me? I mean, it's like it annoys them. So people have been conditioned to think, you know, I'm telling you to do this, do it, you know. More and more doctors now are becoming, you know, medical doctors are starting to see the benefit in holism and naturopathic and things like that. And that's where a lot of the integrative medicine is coming from. So integrative medicine I love because it looks not just at what Western medicine has to offer, but it looks at chiropractic, it looks at acupuncture, it looks at homeopathy. That's what the whole point of integrative medicine is to blend all the different modalities out there and to create a protocol for the patient that has the, you know, like the best protocol, you know. As far as I'm concerned, I think very rarely do you need the medication and things like that. But in some cases, if somebody's so advanced, you know, you might want to do the medication just to knock things down, but get off the medication as quickly as possible and then let the naturopathic and homeopathic course take you the rest of the way. But, you know, so I'm happy that integrative medicine is seeming to be becoming more and more prolific out there.
Well, let's wrap up today by saying this. Something that Shelley just said reminded me of this fact, and that is everything is up to you. And you should be fond enough of yourself and those that you love to get the right answers, not take everything like it's being spoon-fed to you and you're supposed to swallow it. I think that realizing that something makes sense to you and saying to yourself, geez, you know, that does make perfect sense to me, and why don't I try that? Or saying, you know, no way. Changing medications and things like that when you're sick and when you're elderly and when nobody else is taking care of you and helping you make better decisions is another story. I think once somebody is of an age, they're just done. But if you're still caring about how you are and who you are and whether or not you're getting the right answers, then you have to listen to things that ring true to you and do what you need to do instead of just blindly believing somebody because they're smarter than you, know more than you, or are setting on a pedestal that is above you and you think that everything they say to you is going to be right. I'm more against that than I am anything else in this world. So, you know, if you can convince me that something's true and I can use my own intellect, as dumb as I can be, to figure out whether it's good for me or not, then I should. But to just blindly say, Shelley says to me, Renee, turn around 3 times, hop on your left foot 4 times, fall in the pool, and by the end of the day you're going to feel better, and I go do it, shame on me. I mean, this is a big part of it. Make up your own mind. Be wise enough. And I know there are some people out there, I mean, Jane just shakes her head at me now because every time somebody tells her to do something, she runs out and pays money for it and does it. And no help.
Yeah.
And she's still in the same place that she's been in. So I do think it's up to you. I think it's up to you to be wise. You know, we've all got the little cerebellum we were born with. Use it. And if something doesn't feel right to you, don't do it. And if you listen to stories, you all know I have hang-ups about the urine therapy. I've made that very clear. My first line was to Monica, it's not my cup of tea, and she cracked up. And I still have that tendency, you know, because I had other things happen to me as a child. I think I told you about some boys peeing in a bottle and poisoning, or we thought he was poisoned. I know better now. My cousin, my favorite cousin. So, you know, some of those things, life's journey teaches you to, you know, to have different feelings about different things. But I go onto her site to enlighten myself because something about it rings true to me and something about it makes sense to me about your own body fluids. It just makes sense to me. If it's been living in my body all this time, it has to be good for me. So, I do think it's worth that. I do want to say, though, on the note of doctors, friends, or foes, I want to mention, I read a little bit of it. It was too many statistics, but millions of people get misdiagnosed every year in the United States, the United States. Millions of people misdiagnosed. And that's another issue. You know, if somebody tells you that I know people that were told that they probably had cancer, but we won't know until we take some more tests. What a horrible thing to say to somebody, right? Or somebody said, oh, we just want to take tests and the doctor knows good and well. My brother is being led on, you know, a merry-go-round that I don't see an end to. And now a dentist or an oral surgeon said, what are you doing going to a regular doctor? That's like me trying to set your arm you know. I mean, this is what the dentist said to him, or the oral surgeon. So now my poor brother's, like, in limbo, you know. In the meantime, I'm pretty sure he's got some cancer cells in his mouth, and nobody's doing a damn thing about it. So beware, be wise, and be careful. Those are the best three things I can tell you, and don't buy it. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck, and who the hell needs a duck? Thank you, girls. Love you both. We'll be back on Friday.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you.
God bless everyone. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.